It's September the 18th already. I don't know where the time goes, 2018.
It's Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
And today's episode is brought to you by the numbers 11 and 13.
something RTX launched this week. We don't have one. It's going to be a couple of weeks before we've got the hardware and the numbers and all this kind of stuff. But I'm calling it now. I have no inside knowledge, pretty much. And I'm thinking the 2080 is going to be like a 1080 Ti, maybe a little faster, not a lot, but it's going to have all the, you know, all the ray tracing stuff. So I guess there's that.
Well, we're starting out with some government and just a tiny bit of gaming because the story breakup was weird. Another week of not a ton of stories.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it was the hurricane.
Well, that's kind of a big story.
Yeah, I don't know, but...
You think tech companies are like, no, we can't announce their new product. All those people died.
Oh, it's not just that. It's all the stories. I find the hardware stuff the least interesting of everything because it's commercial and it drives me crazy.
Company has released new thing. And it's, well, we could take your stint on it, and it is that the NVIDIA has a massive backlog of 10 series cards, so you're not getting a deal on 20 series cards until all those 10 series cards are gone.
Well, the FISA courts, we know about them, and we know that they are Orwellian in their approach. It's often secret, but we have gotten some declassification.
Pay attention, other countries, because this is how things can go really wrong when you've got secret courts. There's so many little tidbits of information in this article that, like, you have to stop and pull it out of the context of the article and say, wait a minute, that's a thing? Because the author takes it for granted.
Yeah, and a lot of this was redacted, but they were able to pull out from the little snippets they were given that this judge was basically dressing them down on every aspect of what they were doing. They were collecting too much. Their warrants were too broad. They were continuing to collect even after they got what they were looking for. Basically, they did everything wrong. And their punishment is going to be... Oh, there isn't one.
Yeah.
It's not even built into it. So they got this harsh criticism in the form of writing, and that's all.
Is it every time something comes out like this, it's like Snowden was right. I mean, this is not the work that is being done here is not legal. And yet there doesn't seem to be anybody that's able to do anything about it.
You know who said Snowden was right? Snowden on Twitter. Now it's funny that you mentioned other countries should pay attention because of the next story.
Yeah, the EU is not now. This is actually a case we've mentioned a couple of times. The ruling has finally come in because it looked like it was going to go this way. And we commented because we're waiting with this with bated breath because it seems like the judge is going to rule this way. Well, they have. The GCHQ has collected too much data and it is a human rights violation. And it really is because it's insanely you don't want an oppressive regime to be able to go back and get that data later. That's not good.
Yeah. And in 2016, it changed. So they're not ruling on anything after 2016, but basically everything before 2016, they claim. Now, there was only one thing they said was a human rights violation, which is kind of disappointing because there were so many things.
Something, I'll take it.
There were so many things that were wrong, but they were just talking about the how broad it is and how everybody is caught up in it when they're not necessarily even suspected of anything.
If the data collection were bullets, it would literally be, we'll just kill everybody and let God sort it out.
They did not rule that it was like kind of like a Fourth Amendment type of thing that would be in this country where it was unlawful to search people in this manner. They're like, oh, that's fine. When you're on the internet, you just have to expect that. Or if they're tapping your phone or whatever, just
do you though?
Just deal with that.
You know, it's like random colonoscopy could happen at any time. You should just expect it.
Got to keep those healthcare costs down, man. Pre-screening. Well, the FCC, we got a bunch of FCC stories this week. And this one, we'll start out with this one. This doesn't affect very many people, but it shows how slimy the FCC can be.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's like, this is, so tribal land. So these are Native American, what, I think is the current term.
It's a tiny percentage, right?
Yes.
Like of all the land mass in North America, or in America, it is very, very little.
So it's like if tribal lands is to rule as rule is to urban. So it's like the rural person's rule.
And the rule is in the FCC, and this is crazy, if one person in a service area, I think it's usually by county.
It's a It's a, they use voting districts. So like gerrymandering would apply.
Okay. But that's usually about the size of a county.
Yeah.
So if one person in that service area has service, that counts. That's that area has service. And so with tribal areas, I think the whole tribal area counted.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Because those are usually pretty big. They're low population.
I'll tell you, as a matter of policy, with like AT&T, for example, it's like AT&T is like, well, it looks like you're in the service area. If they come out and they can't find a pair or there's no pre-existing copper lines basically to your house, they're like, sorry about your luck, and move on with their lives.
Yeah. It's disgusting. And it wouldn't be disgusting if we didn't give them money to do that.
Yeah.
And when I say we, I mean everybody that pays taxes. So there you go. Now, the states, as you know, a lot of states, I didn't include the story, but if you see the sniping between the California senator, yes, and Pai,
yeah,
that was funny. In Minnesota, they tried to come up with some more consumer protection rules, and Pai personally has stepped in to help shoot that down.
Yeah, this is really just about protecting data and like how if your ISP is going to capture all of your data and like look at the unencrypted websites that you're visiting and monetize that, what sort of consumer protection do we have in place for that? And this is basically, no, we're not. No.
This has to do with voice over IP, where the argument is that a phone or is that data? And this court ruled it's data. And because it's data, then the FCC ruling applies. So even though it's voice communication, when you would normally count that as a phone, because it gets, you know, turned into IP during the process, then it becomes data, as they argue. Mm-hmm. And Pai was quick to say, you know, this is exactly what I was talking about. You can't create your own net neutrality rules. See, look, case law. Yeah, people are... Not happy about that.
Yeah, because it turns out, it's like, all right, well, give me the non-VOIP voice service. And they're like, what's that?
VOIP is, the delay is so infuriating, especially on business calls with like five people, because it's just constantly people talking over each other. I hate voice over IP. Well, the FCC is, of course, you know, they have their, they bless the mega mergers, and they're saying they might need a little more time with the, when did this one start? This one's been in process forever.
Like 3 or 4 months. I want to say that we got the first hints of this a year ago, but I think it's been 3 or 4 months. So normally there's a 180-day review process. And I'm not sure if they're legit or they're just waiting to be bribed. Like that's how sort of jaded I've become.
Well, I think Sprint and T-Mobile as well have been arguing over some of the finer points of the deal.
It's like, but we need you guys to spend some money on some stuff so that we know that this is okay. By the way, my re-election campaign is coming up in November.
They might be waiting for re-election. That's funny. Yeah. Well, consumer protection, consumer privacy.
We talk about that a lot.
That's a big buzzword. We had the Cambridge Analytica fiasco, which has rolled into a giant snowball of lawmakers jumping on this bandwagon.
Well, we had all those lawmakers with the Facebook thing. I mean, they embarrassed themselves by going on national television to demonstrate exactly how illiterate they really are, which is horrifying. And they were willing to embarrass themselves over customer protection and protection from Facebook.
And last week and the week before, we had the Twitter hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of the same thing. I mean, they're talking about like you're influencing people, but at the end, that's protecting people from being influenced. I don't know. Well, the good news is we're going to Congress is going to get together one more time, and we're going to talk about consumer privacy. But there's some bad news.
Yeah, the game is rigged. Congress didn't actually invite any consumer privacy advocates to its consumer privacy hearing. You know who got invited?
Google. Let's talk about them. Amazon. Big consumer privacy people, right? Yeah. Google. Aren't they in trouble for China?
Like everything? Yeah.
Twitter. Well, we already know about Twitter. Charter Communications. What? So, yeah, that's a lot of famous advocacy people have tweeted and they're like, why didn't I get invited? You know, and that's a little bit of hubris maybe, but someone from that side should be there.
Someone not a giant company who literally makes money off of the people's non-privacy.
Well, I am lucky in that my phone lets me turn off Amber Alerts and Silver Alerts. I know that some phones actually do not allow that.
Wow.
Which is terrifying. But now, the fear has come true. there will be a text message service that you cannot opt out of from your very favorite person.
To the president's own personal tweet service to tweet at literally every American.
So this is a FEMA service, and it's only supposed to be used in times of emergency. Of course, I suppose the president has full discretion there.
Yes.
I would think. Now, here's the darkest timeline. Think about this. Twitter finally gives in to the left-wing pressure and bans Trump. So he starts using this for all of his tweets. This is his new Twitter. You can't ignore it.
Well, on the bright side, at least he'll be using a secure phone to be able to do that, right? I mean, there's that at least.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that has to go through another channel. Like that, he wouldn't be tied directly into one device for that, right? He'd have to send it to somebody else. I don't know. That would be interesting. Well, another ongoing story we talked about. We were so excited. This was what, like 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, Charter getting kicked out of New York.
New York was going to get rid of them. We were like, yeah, don't negotiate with those terrorists. Well, guess what they're doing?
They're negotiating with the terrorists. The thing that pisses me off about this article is that the article author is sort of parroting what both sides are saying, is that we're having some productive talks. And unless New York is willing to take punitive measures against Spectrum, this will only encourage the same kind of future behavior. Like, I don't understand how it's like, oh, we're negotiating, and unless Charter agrees to do more than they had originally agreed to do, this is not a win. No amount of negotiation is a win.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the argument for the death penalty. Like, it's preventative in the sense that someone's going to see that and be like, oh, we better not try that, because it's, you know, there's no negotiation once you get past a certain point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I suspect they will line some pockets. Like you said, reelection campaign funds will be very, very padded, and they'll get right back in there. Start doing the same crap they've always done, yeah. Most likely, I would say. It's
super disappointing.
Well, I didn't put a specific story in. I think pretty much everybody, we've talked about it before. I think everybody knows about the EU copyright decision and Articles 11 and 13, the link tax and the automatic meme filter that, you know, I'm simplifying it a great deal, but I think everybody's heard about that. But this story is about that. If you don't know about that, look into it. We're not going to spend 20 minutes talking about it. It's a terrible thing.
There's a pretty decent thread on our forum that was written by Eden, which is a, you know, sort of a European perspective, I guess, on that. And there are parts of the link tax thing that are blown completely out of proportion, but there are other parts that are deeply horrifying.
But it's the language is not specific enough to prevent them from reinterpreting it whenever they feel like. So one of the things about it, they cheered when they passed it, which was a disgusting moment in democracy. And afterwards, they interviewed this guy, the guy who championed the whole thing. And it turns out, he didn't quite understand some of the parts of it.
There's like 5 or 6 different articles from this guy, and he's like, "Oh wow, that's in there. I didn't think that was in there." And he's just, I'm glad that he's as transparent as that is. But
well, what else can he do? I mean, he's the biggest villain in the world. He knew what he was doing, so now he's just trying to walk it back a little bit, just to keep from being murdered. This one in particular, he was talking about. There's a line in there about recording sporting events. Like if you go to a sporting event and you got your phone and you're recording something, that's now illegal under this new copyright reform.
That's not just illegal. That's the European equivalent of felonious.
So, and he was like, "What? Oh, well, we might have to go fix some things. That sounds silly." Right? But of course, they allowed the copyright holders to write it. And that's why it's so crazy. That's why the whole thing is so draconian. Because, of course, you know, whoever's, I don't know who does sports in Europe, but whoever that is doesn't want people to take footage. That's theirs. That you have to have the express written consent of Major League Baseball to rebroadcast their broadcasts.
Even if you pay for a ticket and you just whip out your cell phone and it's like, look at this craziness that's happening now on Periscope. No,
can't do it.
How crazy is that?
I mean, that's basically stealing content, man.
What if you could launch your own orbital satellite and you could just like zoom in on the stadium as it's happening, like the optics were that good, or you had a drone over the stadium and you got a permit for the drone? You can see
I don't know about the EU, but all stadiums are no fly zones during games now because of terrorists.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
and also rebrought those terrorists that are rebroadcasting the sporting events. Sort of waters down the word terrorist when you just, you know, everybody's a terrorist.
Well, one of the reasons, of course, that they use to tell us all these new things that we can't do is extremism, terrorism. It's wrong, and we must root it out. And they've in the past, you know, we talked about Facebook, and they're constantly announcing, oh, we've done this to get rid of terrorism, and Google and their stuff. But now EU said, no, that's not enough. Once you get the notification, you have an hour.
You have an hour to remove extremist content. I read this article. You know the Monty Python skit where it's like the weaponized joke was the funniest joke in the world, and then people like died on reading it. Like, how extreme does that extremist content have to be that, you know, if in an hour people shared it, that it would, I'm going to watch a video and then I'm immediately going to empty my bank account and, you know, send it to ISIS, and well, it's going to be a good video.
Well, they say that the first hour is the most impactful for terrorist propaganda. I don't know how you measure that.
Sounds like bullshit.
You think they sat down some new terrorists and was like, Elsa, can you answer a few questions on a scale of 1 to 10? How does the freshness of terrorist propaganda affect?
I'm getting an idea for a level one skit here. It's like where, you know, we have a room where we bring people in and we literally sit them down and it's like, all right, watch this terrorist video. And then all of a sudden they like, you know, become terrorists, like the quintessential terrorists from the thing. Just like the Monty Python skit where it's like, all right, let's get a control group to read the joke and they accidentally killed everybody.
It would be great because, like, you know, they come out of the room completely radicalized.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're going to behead us. And we're like, wait, what if I told you that was filmed in 2014? And they just dropped the knife. And they're like, whoa, I had no idea. Wow. Almost pledged my life to Allah. That's crazy. Well, you might think that those terrorists and their videos are, in fact, the root of all evil. But you would be so wrong.
This UK MP thinks secret online groups are the root of all evil. And so, like, if you're in a group larger than 500, you're going to have to register the group.
I mean,
keep a straight
face. Really, this is an Onion article. This is crazy. And so you're going to have a whole government organization dedicated to maintaining those registrations. You think if you go, like, if you lose a bunch of people, you go back to 450, what happens then? Can you deregister?
No, you can't deregister. I mean, there are WoW guilds that are going to have to register.
So the idea is once you hit that 500 mark and you register, you now follow the same rules as a news organization. But news organization, I mean, they can control what they say because it's a broadcast. It's a one-to-many relationship. But here, you're responsible for everybody who's in your group and what they say. That's insane.
Please, SysOp, please limit my WoW group to 499 people.
That would be terrible. That's like, you know, if you're super rich in America and you split up your money in different bank accounts so that you stay under the FDIC reimbursement limit.
So what's to stop the terrorists from forming cells of 499 people and then 499 cells where one person from one cell participates in another group that's also 499?
So you have to... That's a lot of telephone game right there. I mean, you're gonna lose something.
It could be a top down thing. So like the first person could go to 500 groups, which could go to 500 more groups each. I mean, that's already like the population of Ireland.
You're basically describing organized crime. So,
well, yeah, organized crime. They would have to.
So register. Now, no. Now you, of course, this would have to be in America, but now you're violating RICO because. It, you know, you're organized.
We're going to get, you know, Tommy Two Fingers on the murder of those, you know, that soccer team and all the bribes and also for failing to register his group.
And because we got him, we got all the other group. We got all the WoW guilds as well because he was a tank. Well, I can tell you this one's true because I'm trying to find a house in a somewhat rural location with internet access and it's more rare than the Sasquatch.
About a quarter of rural... Actually, I think this headline is misleading because it says about a quarter of rural Americans say that access to high-speed internet is a major problem. I would say the better headline was 60% of people believe that it is a mild to moderate problem to get internet access in rural areas.
It was weird about this article. apparently minorities were more angry about lack of internet access in rural places.
A lot of minorities have figured out that you can earn a pretty decent living online, even just doing like Amazon Mechanical Turk stuff.
Yeah, but why wouldn't the white people care? Are they just happy with in their bliss with no internet? That doesn't make any sense.
Welfare?
I think maybe they were older. I don't know.
Retirement. It was also the, there was a stat in there too that was like 78%, only 78% of people that live in a rural area have internet or phones in the first place, which was a shocking number. Like cell phones.
I believe it. Look at, like, you'll look at a really nice house and you're like, no, there's no way that this modern looking home was built by a family that, you know, is clearly successful. And they're just like, yeah, you know what? We don't need the internet. But sure enough,
that is,
are they using satellite or something? It's crazy. Well, if you've watched TV, if you're still watching TV, or if you've watched TV as a child, you'll know the frustration of watching a good movie on television and hearing those terrible dubs over the curse words. Because there are certain things that you are not allowed to say on broadcast television, according to the FCC. Well, for once, someone woke up and said, hey, you know what? The FCC doesn't rule us.
So the seven dirty words, this is actually, it had to go to court, though. This guy registered a domain name that had one of the seven dirty words, I guess.
It was, fuck us.
So, yeah. But he can register that. I mean, that's fine. So it's listed from the .us domain name registry regulations.
Yeah. So you can, I'm sure they're all taken at this point.
Yes.
He probably just went ahead and picked up the other six, don't you think?
We should go ahead and pick up, you know, some dirty words and then followed by a brand name.
I bet we get that taken away from this court.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Well, it should be free speech because there was a .com of that a long time ago and it made it all the way to the Supreme Court, I think. And it was like, no, that is free speech. You can, if you have stories about horror stories with whatever the brand was on the website, that's totally fine because that's...
Is WhiteHouse.com still around?
It is. I managed to buy it though. It's not, I don't think it's the same thing anymore.
Oh. Set. Well, I mean, if they bought it, that's okay.
So,
but what a great idea that was. Well, we've talked about American corruption. We've talked about European corruption. And now let's talk about Chinese corruption by way of Google.
Now, see, I love this story. This is from The Intercept. Google China is going to, it's their prototype search engine links searches to phone numbers. Well, it's not just linking the searches to phone numbers. It's actually linking the searches to the people doing the search, and they're just using phone numbers as the key for that. And I love stories like this because with the stories that we just covered about, like, here in the U.S., like the NSA overspying and just vacuuming everything up and all this kind of stuff, it's the same ends, really, it is, compared to, like, what China is doing. And so those two stories sort of juxtaposed with one another, it is scary how similar they are.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a lot. It's just simply that China doesn't care what you think. And they're just going to come out and tell you, yeah, this is what we're doing. Deal with it. So the reason they can tie the phone number is because the Google in China is only on mobile devices. It's like an Android app type of thing. So you might be thinking, well, how can they do that with a desktop? Well, they're not, because the Google search only exists on phones, or will. It's called Dragonfly. We'll talk more about that later. I thought about putting those two stories together, but they're in different sections.
I really do love I don't love it. I mean, it's actually really horrible. I believe that it is possible for a world to exist with American ideals. Don't know why we're not building it, but, I mean, I do know why. But it's possible to build a world with American ideals, surely to God.
America doesn't have American ideals. What are you talking about?
I mean, with just like the higher, you know, it's like we don't need to resort to this spying and nonsense because we're adult enough to just not need it.
We don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy. So, yeah, the lawmakers, they're usually a little bit behind the times. Now, let's count. When did this first? This was like back in the spring, right? When this first came out. So they're about 6 to 9 months behind the curve on any given thing. But they've finally woken up to it, and they're terrified of the deepfakes.
Well, we know from the Facebook hearings on C-SPAN that most of the people that spoke there have like a fourth grade reading level. So they're doing pretty good with the fourth grade reading level.
I think a fourth grader would very easily understand if you show them those videos.
The deepfakes videos.
Yeah. Very quickly, they'd be like, this could have some implications. So they're very upset. And of course, this goes back to the whole meddling in the election thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so disgusting because you just read a little bit between the lines of that. The message is, you morons are never going to be able to understand all these different signals and parse them and make a decision. So we have to protect you from all this information. And so they're demanding that somebody do something about this. I think every step so far to defeat deepfakes has led to better deepfakes.
Yes.
So I don't know if they're ever going to, I mean, I don't.
You know what the solution to deepfakes are? A better educated population.
Well, we can't have that.
No.
Yeah. Because then they won't be satisfied in their cubicles. And here's
speaking of not a better educated population.
Well, I'm gonna admit I don't know enough about the topic to say. Well, I certainly don't trust the government, yeah. Right? So I don't trust that they're just like it'll be fine. But I don't know that we have a lot of great proof.
Yeah,
positive either.
One thing about this story. So this is the Bay Area. City has blocked 5G deployments over cancer concerns. So they're wanting to set up new towers for 5G. The difference here is that 5G, you don't want to run as a fewer number of powerful towers. You want to put in a larger number of smaller, less powerful towers. So maybe on just in terms of like wattage output, there's less of a cancer risk because there's less wattage involved. But the Bay Area doesn't want to deploy any 5G cell phone towers because quote unquote cancer.
But here's the problem. With larger towers and smaller amounts of larger towers, you can strategically put those large towers around poor people. But when you're doing a higher number of low power towers, somebody's subdivision's getting a tower. There's no way around it.
Well, they have those towers that look like sickly trees.
Yeah, but I mean, they still know it's there. Yeah, so this is a not in my backyard kind of thing. Mm. They're not the first place to do this either. There are other cities who have said, no 5G towers. We don't want them here. So, going to be interesting. I wonder, though, because right now, I think only the activists on one side are interested. You know, like the cell towers give you cancer people are very active here. They talked about there's like 14,000 residents in that place and 1,400 came forward.
That's like 10%.
So it's a crazy amount.
That is a lot.
And but when, you know, Joe Average gets his iPhone and his iPhone pops up a little message like, sorry, 5G is not available in your area. Then the other side is going to get angry.
Yeah, they're also going to vent their spleen, yeah. Have there been any credible scientific studies? Because
I've seen studies, but who? I mean, with the state of scientific publishing, well, who can say?
I'm thinking about like the old school. You remember the old Nokia, like the 3310s? It used to be like I did this experiment myself. If you had one 3310 and you called another 3310, and you know those egg poacher things, it was like a plastic stand where you put the egg in the microwave and then you know, and like 30 seconds later, you've got a poached egg. You could put an egg on one of those and just set the Nokia phones on either side of the egg. And in about 10 minutes, the egg would be cooked.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's some unintended consequence of all this technology, but
whether that leads to cancer, I don't think so.
But if it does, and let's say it leads to cancer like 1% of the time, are we going to stop? Is it worth, because think about what that would do to the economy.
I think the radio transmitter would have to be like inside your skull for it to be a problem. Which is an allusion to a story that we've got coming up.
Well, this is kind of a feel-good story. And this is from TripAdvisor themselves. They're sort of patting themselves on the back because they caught someone cheating in Italy. They caught an Italian business cheating at reviews.
Yeah, so there was a business in Italy whose business was to write fake reviews for anybody that hired them on TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor had that guy jailed.
9 months and 8,000 euro.
I mean, on the one hand, it is a business writing illegit reviews. And on the other hand, a jail time? Jeez.
They're not messing around in the EU anymore. Yeah, that is annoying. It's a very annoying thing that you can't. I mean, Amazon is just a cesspool. You don't know who to believe. You can't trust anybody. So, but yeah, jail time seems. And I guess the idea here is that they were one of those companies that would notify you and be like, hey, for this much money, you can get good TripAdvisor reviews. if you don't play ball, you might get some bad ones. So that's more of extortion than just lying on reviews, which maybe makes sense. Well, the big news in gaming this week, I think they were going to do it last week, but they had that earthquake.
Yeah.
And destroyed Nintendo's building. And they were like, we're going to wait a week. But the Switch Cloud Save, the Switch Online subscription service has finally come around with a bit of an asterisk.
So you can play old NES games on it, which is awesome. They're downloadable. But if you don't maintain the subscription, your save games will disappear, which seems arbitrary.
Well, this is those are two things that are... This is not the same thing. So your game saves on your regular Switch games. So the Switch has this interesting thing. You cannot back up your save games to your SD card.
That seems
so. The save games are part of the Switch. So let's say you get a new Switch because this one's acting up or you crack the screen or something. There's no way to move your save games from that Switch to the new Switch.
Unless you have the cloud thing.
But if you let the cloud subscription slip, those go away.
Like it's just gone forever?
Well, they just claim we cannot. Now, Sony actually gives you 6 months. Microsoft lets you go forever. It'll always keep your save games. The thing you're talking about is the classic NES games are part of Switch Online. So if you've logged in, you can play them offline for 7 days.
Yeah.
After that 7 days is up, no. Prove you're you.
And meanwhile, people that got one of the Switches that you could modify with the USB thing don't have to put up with any of that BS. You can save to your SD card just fine with those.
I think you can. But let me tell you, they started banning the ROM IDs. So if you have a cartridge and you rip it and put it online, that gets banned from online. So much fewer people are willing to post ROMs because that hurts their physical copy of the game.
So you got to get a reader now.
Well, if you still have to buy it. I maybe you could rent it. I bet all the rental games are. That's good. Of course, there's not. I don't know. Does anybody do physical Switch rentals? Does like Gamefly? Does that still exist?
I'm surprised that no one has come up with a ROM ID generator.
I don't know if you can replace it. I think there might be some kind of encryption. I'm sure they'll work around it. But I haven't been keeping up with it. I bought a Switch and I got the USB thing. And I was just really unimpressed with the game library. It's not that great.
I think everybody's still playing Zelda.
I actually bought the Zelda game, and I was underwhelmed by that as well.
Really?
Wow. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting too old.
I was tempted to pick up a Switch and try the Zelda game, because I was like Zelda 3, A Link to the Past. It's been a lot of time
if you want to borrow it. I mean, it's just sitting there running the battery out every 3 days at my house. Well, too bad Chris is not here for this one, because she does love the Overwatch. But one thing about Overwatch, they're serious about anti-cheat, and a lot of times emulation is used in cheating on online games. So they've run afoul of some legitimate emulation.
Yeah, we do a lot of videos on running games, Windows games under Linux. And so like Wine and DXVK, we've done videos on that. And so Blizzard is kind of waffling a little bit on this. Some people they've banned and some people they've unbanned. So it's still a little murky. They're saying, well, it should be possible. Like we're not going to try to block playing Overwatch on Linux. But at the same time, we've got to really make sure that cheaters aren't going to try to use that to come up with new cheats.
I want to do... Chris is trying to get to Diamond in Overwatch. And she's out this week. You might have noticed there's no Chris. She's glamping. A lot of people are like, let Krista come back. We don't stop Krista from being in the news ever. That's her choice. But I want to do a night where Krista has 3 hours to on the Twitch stream to grind and get to Diamond. And if she doesn't get there, we give Rue a full Cane's 3-piece chicken tender box.
That would be amazing.
On the stream.
I don't think Rue would know what to do with herself.
I think the problem is, like, we would need to bring Rue into the room.
Yeah.
And when she sees the two of us, she's going to excitement pee everywhere. So.
Well, I mean, the conference room floor does have the rubber backing, so I mean, I guess.
Is it really worth testing that? Yeah, a little short, like we said. There's not a lot of news lately.
It's not a lot. We're monitoring the Wine DXVK situation. And on the Linux channel, I've got two more videos for doing the full Windows VM virtualization that I owe you guys. But there's a bug in the current Agiza from AMD for Ryzen platforms, which is sort of kneecapping my virtualization efforts. That should hopefully be fixed the first or second week of October.
So we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be business and social media. And then on Friday, we've got a cornucopia because there was a lot of just small categories.
There's a lot of nonsense.
I tried to pad the nonsense because it's like, wow, I can't find the stories. And I don't want to put the boring stories in there because...
Well, this week's going to be weird too because the RTX stuff is going to just be all over the place. And the algorithm is going to ignore all of our videos because we're not mentioning the NVIDIA RTX stuff. So maybe we should come up with RTX looking titles so the algorithm gets confused.
The algorithm. We'll see you tomorrow.